Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the end. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
To women, you deserve better than to be called pretty. You deserve better than to get upset and go online to act petty. You deserve better than to be on hold. You deserve better than to hold on to someone who's already let go. You deserve better than to be held in convenience. You deserve better than to keep your relationship low-key because someone might see it and someone might ask questions and someone might wonder why someone like you would rather hang around a boy who won't commit when someone like them is ready to love you, is ready to learn you, ready to show you who you are, paint you a picture of you through his eyes and convince you that you are indeed art, show you the way he's mesmerized, the way your broken heart still beats, the way it flutters when whole eyes and yours meet, the way it silences to express its beat, show you how much he realizes you need healing from this hurting. know something about what you've been through. I know some days feel like heavy weights and hearts with protection that you failed to break through, and I know what it's like to put heartbreak on hold for the love of your life, forget relationships, take two. I know he forgot to say I love you too. I know he forgot to stay faithful. I know you forgot about the time you promised yourself you'd do better, but every time you try to leave, something keeps pulling you back, telling you this is the best you'll ever have in life. So you stay the night. Every night he misses you after remembering your head and how good it works and how good it feels to know no matter how bad it gets, you always come back. I know you. And he does too. We know the way your stomach drops at the thought of him loving someone better, so he knows you won't search for better, and I know you deserve better. I know you deserve better than to have your spirit bruised. I know you deserve someone who empowers you. I know just how beautiful you could be if only you could see your own self-value, and I know you. You're a collection of paradoxes. You're a compilation of food for thought. You're a woman. Before all things, you're more a lover than a fighter after all, it seems. You're special. Listen to me. You are special. And I know you deserve way better than to settle.
I gave you my love, I tell you what I do. I expect a whole lot of love out of you. You got to be good to me. The way you love me, and the way you squeeze me, yeah, you're simply beautiful, yeah, beautiful, yeah, when you get right down to right there. Sad you
I could say about you, girl. I could say that I
brothers and sisters of this celestial energy is Brother Wisdom. You know, I did that last video because I know who we are in this land. There is some people who would rather want to deal with demographic areas according to the studies that they have been given in certain school settings, or if they did their own independent studies. Now, one thing we must remember here, this is the whole thing. This is the whole point of our people being taught on this level of, we are not from this land. There is a reason why we were taught this. All right? There is a reason why we were taught this. We were taught this by these orc beings so that we would not be able to claim what is rightfully ours. You being in this land, indigenous to this land, your family members who go back millions and millions and millions of years, and you claiming another land, is like a slap in the face of your ancestors. And yes, all of us on the planet, all of us people of melanin on the planet, we're nature. We were created by nature. There was no certain place we started. The very place that we started, that all of us came from, all of us people of melanin, we all came from the cosmos. We all came from different planets. That's where we came from. We were centered. We came from the center of the cosmos. There is no demographic area. But we here on this land here, like I said, well, we've been here for millions of years. It's been stolen from us, this the very knowledge that we belong to this land. And I'll say it again, I'll be redundant on this matter. Simply because these orc beings don't want us to identify ourselves as indigenous to this land so that we would not go straight out battle and fight. So we have our brothers and sisters who will want to stand up and say, well, you know, we're from this here, we're from this place, and we're from that place. And because of my studies, or because of my college studies, understand, anytime you read the books of these orc beings prescribed, okay? Anytime you read the books that they prescribed, this is what you call controlled knowledge. Well, they literally would want to control the level of knowledge that you get so that you would not know who you are. This is the lie. So basically, when one of our people come with the truth, there's another one of our people who's going to come with a lie. And they're going to argue the lie, and they're going to fight the lie, and they're going to battle the lie, thinking that's the truth. Because this is what my studies said. This is what I learned in school. This is what I studied as I read these books. But how many of us have gone within? You really don't want to know who you are. Just sit out in the sunshine and say, and say within yourself, or say out loud, I need the wind to show me who I am. And you're out in the middle of this hot heat, and a cool breeze just hits you, and the wind will tell you who you are. So many of our people have read books and studied, and no one has gone to nature. I'm not going to argue with anybody. The last video I did, you know, I had one sister who wanted to argue with me and tell me this and tell me that. And I'm like, you know, I'm not even trying to argue with you. I'm not even trying to go this way. But the whole thing about it is, how many of us have gone to nature? Do you know how to tap into nature? Do you know how to go to the very source that created you from the beginning? And ask all the questions, because I went to nature and nature told me who I am. Nature told me who everybody else is. The problem is that, do you know who you are? It's not about a demographic area. It's all about you knowing who you are. Nature. Now, yes, our people, we travel the planet. We travel the planet. They showed you in the movie Moana that we were travelers of the planet. We traveled the planet. And we went from here to there, and there to here, and here to there, and there to here. And we mingled among each other. All of us people are melanin. We mingled among each other. We didn't fight and war against each other. We mingled among each other. So that would go to show that we are from everywhere. That would go to show that we are from every part of the planet. We have great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. But the problem is none of us know where they came from. None of us know what land they came from. None of us know where they lived. Do you know where they lived? Do you have any archaeological studies to show directly where they lived? No, you don't. So you can't say that we're from here or we're from there. All I know is that my ancestors are on this land, and my grandmother and great-grandmother have told me about my ancestors on this land. And if I would have had a chance to meet my great-great-grandmother, which I will probably go and tap into her spirit through meditation, she would tell me more. Then this is the problem. So many of our people don't go into meditation. We don't tap into nature. We don't tap into the very source, the spirit, to find the truth. But yet we read a book, or we go through this Orc Beings College study. And we think we got it all because we got degrees and papers that they said that okay, you've passed this, or you've done that. But one thing you haven't done is gone and tapped into nature, tapped into the spirit realm. You haven't gone and gone deep within yourself to find the truth of the whole matter. That's where we haven't gone. It's not about a demographic area. It's about finding your culture. When I did those beats, we as the indigenous Atlanteans of this land right here, and this is Atlantis, and it's been proven, these Orc Beings even have told us this land is Atlantis, and that we are the original people on this land. Okay? So, when I did those beats, This is what, this is the type of beats that we had. Not only that, we had the flutes, we had cymbals, we had different types of horns. We had the guitars. We played the guitars. We had all types of instruments. How many of our people are linking to that? Yet, we're ready to argue about a demographic area, but don't hear the whole totality of the message. Now, one thing I do look at, I look at the fact that the brothers and sisters of melanin in the land called Africa, which is Sumeria, or Ethiopia, is actually, it was once Sumeria, then they named it to Ethiopia, okay? That's before Scipio Africanus came and did his damage. But one thing I can tell you is those brothers and sisters over there, they have completely different body structures than we do. The Twa, who are the Irs in Ireland, they were pygmies. And they had a totally different body structure than everyone else. Those are in Australia, they call the Aboriginals. They have a complete different body structure than we do, than those in Sumeria, than the Twas. Those down in Brazil, what they call Brazil, in that area, they have a complete, totally different body structure. If you look at the body structures, look at the body structures, look at the structure of the head. Now, do we have that same body structure that they have? No, we don't. We don't have that body structure. We don't have that type of head. We don't have that type of bone structure that they have. So these are the things that you got to look at. Because if the fact that we did come from that land, then we would still be looking or have that exact body structure. Look at some facts. So the whole part about it is the fact that we come from nature and we need to go within ourselves to find the truth so that we can find out who we are and stop reading these books. Get away from the books and go within yourself. This is the only way you're going to find the truth, is if you go within yourself. You cannot learn anything properly by going to a book, and then because you read it and studied and got a degree from these works, you actually think you know it? No, you don't, because you haven't gone within yourself. And there's so many of our people who will refuse to go within themselves because they think that they have it made, and you've been taught by the very enemy who wants to tell you that you're from here. Why? Because he doesn't want you to claim the land as your own. And if you're not claiming the land as your own, then he can continue to do what he wants to do. But when we as a whole, on this land, they call it America, which is really Atlantis, when we as a whole begin to claim our land, claim our heritage as Atlanteans, not Africans, because African is not a word. Our ancestors knew nothing about Africa. Our ancestors knew Ethiopia. Our ancestors knew Sumeria. Our ancestors knew Kemet. This is what they knew. So, if you're not claiming this land and you want to claim something else, then basically you have literally alienated yourself from the very land that you live on. And you saying, there's no reason for me to fight for this right here. But you don't even know how to fight for the land over there called Africa. You don't even know how to fight for that land. How do you fight for it? How do you stand up for something that's so that you have no idea how to live? You know nothing about the fruits and the foods they eat. You're not eating that type of food there that they eat there. You're eating the type of food that our ancestors ate here. So you gotta understand that you know, each land, they have totally different vegetation than what we have over here. The way that they dress and the way our ancestors dress is totally different. We wear the feathers and all the way down our back. They wear a totally different type of clothing. So we have to literally go within ourselves. We can't continue to argue with each other over stuff that really doesn't matter, because the main fact is, once you tap into nature, once you go into nature, once you find out through nature who you really are and who your people are, then you will know. Then you will know. Maybe you know, you really get some true people from that land called Africa to come and say, okay, this is what we eat, because each land eats different. Each land, each so-called country, they all have different types of food, different types of clothing, apparel. They all have different types. So, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm from this and from that. And then you don't want to go to genealogy.com. Why? Because genealogy.com was set up by these orc beings. And they're not going to tell you your true genealogy. They're not going to tell you that you are indigenous to this land and that your forefathers or your ancestors go all the way back to land called in Tennessee or Washington or California. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you something about some Nigeria, or they're going to tell you something about this here. And then when you go to the land called Nigeria and you try to fit in, and then you realize you get there, you don't look like nothing, none of the people that's there. You don't look like them. They don't look like you. But you're listening to something or someone who gave you an outright lie and told you that you're from some place that your ancestors may have traveled through, but they didn't live there. Because we traveled and then we came right back home. Got that? So there's no argument in this here. There's no argument in this here. All there is us to awaken to the nature of who we are, the power that's within us, the energy that's within us, so that we can become one with the very source that created us from the very beginning, which is nature. We all come from nature. That's where we all come from, nature. Don't yell at our people and try to talk down on our people because you think one thing, but you haven't done an in-depth search within yourself. You got to go within yourself to find out who you are. Because once you go within yourself and find out who you are, you're going to be surprised at what you find out. You got to stop reading these books. These books are not taking us anywhere. You got to go within yourself into that infinite library where nature and the ancestors and the ascended masters and the angelic beings would teach you everything you need to know. And thus, you won't have to go into a page because you will know it. Our ancestors didn't write books. Our ancestors went into meditation. We knew this. And then some information, we wrote it on the walls. But we all knew this because we knew how powerful we were. It's important, my people. It's so important that we go into nature and learn who we are. Then we can take the land back, because these orc beings, they don't want us to claim who we are.
We got the 2020 census that's supposed to be coming up in 2020, if there's a 2020 with this government. How many of us are going to be indigenous to this land? How many of us are going to be indigenous Atlanteans? How many of us are going to be, some people may say, indigenous Aboriginal American? How many of us are going to say that? How many of us are going to lay claim to this land right here, which is going to put a definite fear in the hearts and minds of these earth beings, because they will know then that they have no power here, because the original people has spoken and said, this is my land. This is not America. This is Atlantis. This is my land. If they want it on paper, we put it on paper. Some people say, well, I'm not going to participate in it. Hey, you ain't got to participate in it with the whole thing, because they're going to come knocking on your door. So you might as well go ahead and do the paperwork and put on there, indigenous Atlantean. Let these orc beings know, I'm not playing your game no more. I'm not black. I'm not African American. I'm not Negro. I belong to this land and my ancestors here. And every day we walking on the bones of our ancestors. We're walking on the bones of our ancestors. Those who died naturally, and those who died from the horror that these orc beings put upon our land. It's important that we lay claim to our land. Get out of these books and go within yourself. Because when you go within yourself, you're going to find truth that's going to make you ashamed that you even try to disclaim something that's so precious to you that belongs to you. All right, my people. That's about all I got right now. I'm going to get some rest. Had a long day at this job. All power to the multi-chakra celestial energy beings. And I truly hope so many of you who are out here claiming African and all this, remember, there's no such thing as African. Our ancestors knew nothing about Africa. They knew nothing about Africa. That's something that's in the last couple hundred years. Our ancestors knew Ethiopia. Our ancestors knew Sumeria. But we here in this land are Atlanteans, and the ancestors know this land. Our true ancestors know this land, which is Atlantis. Well, we roamed for millions of years, millions upon millions. All right, my people. All power to the celestial energy beings. Peace to you all.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Give me a second, guys. Wrong place.
My name is Clarice Drew, and I'm here in the studio today with the distinguished Dr. Laila Africa. Dr. Africa, welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. Great to have you. You do phenomenal work. You've got outstanding books to prove all of that, and your passion is healthcare, and predominantly with an emphasis on what is good for us as African-American people. I'd like if we could start briefly, just tell us a little bit about your passion, what led you to that, and why you feel qualified to share with us the information that should make a difference in our lives.
Well, essentially, I started changing my health in 1970 and started reading books about health and going to seminars and lectures. And I noticed they never mentioned black people or Africa in any way when they talked about nutrition and health. And it kind of irritated me. I said, we must have contributed something. I mean, we built the pyramids. We did this. We must know something about eating. And that set me on a journey of researching. And I used to collect this information. So I sit and see a paragraph there about the origins of health.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient medical book, the Ibis Papyrus, the Moscow Papyrus. That book is quoted directly by Hippocrates, the Moscow Papyrus. And I found out that we were the ones who started nutrition. It comes from an Egyptian word, Mina, which we get the word menu from. So the whole concept of nutrition, especially natural medicine and natural foods, comes from Africa. And I found that out and had the documentation of when they examined the fossil remains in the pyramids and
mm-hmm.
so with the head and the mummy's stomach was whole grains, no bleached white flour, no white sugar, no milk. And I said, oh, we were into natural foods. And that started me on this journey to get the information out to other people.
So Twinkies were not allowed.
No. That's
no Twinkies in our mummy.
No, that wasn't there at all.
Yeah. Was there any one pivotal point, though, that just made you say, this is something that I have got to really delve deeper into? I guess what I'm getting at, did it start with what you used to eat as a little boy or what you saw people eat around you, or just what triggered it for you?
A child. A little girl knocked me on my leg like it was a door and said, can you teach me how to know when I'm sick?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And that triggered me. Nothing keeps me motivated but children.
Sure.
Nothing else.
That's what started. If I were to ask you to take us back a little bit, Dr. Africa, how would you start it if I were to ask you to take us back to where we came from, where we used to be, and even where you think we're headed? Is it as grim as I think it may be? Is the past as wonderful for us health-wise as most of us think it may have been? Where would we be? Where have we been?
Well, the examination of our mummies indicated we were 99% cavity-free. Even when we were 70, 80, and 90 years old, we were cavity-free. So the examination of the mummies itself indicates that we were healthy people, and they found sprouting containers in the pyramids and the herbal formulas, over 300 different herbal formulas taken out of Tutankhamun's coffin, as they call it, when excavated, his grave. And it's not only the herbal combination, but the schedule how to take it, which you call prescriptions today, was taken out of his remains. So we have the evidence that we were very healthy, knew about herbal medicine. We had herbal farms, which the Europeans call orchards. And I found out that people in control of it, testing other people and how they design the orchards to indicate certain energy fields, which people call feng shui today. So that got me into how to arrange the house using the African system based on a herbal system. So we were very healthy until we were introduced to what we call a starch and fat-centered diet.
Well, I'm going to stop you a minute. Now, before we started the starch and fats in our diet, what did we eat?
We ate whole foods, which people call natural foods, which does not include dairy products or salt or white sugar or any processed grains, which people call bleached white flour today and white rice today. We ate
whole
foods. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly raw. Those in the seed family. And grains ripen early where sweet fruits ripen late. So what people buy in the store is unripe grains, which they call rice and beans, but they're unripe, so you have to kind of cook them to revert that sugar back to its natural state. But that's what we were eating. It's been verified over and over again by just going to the pyramids, and they have paintings of what we ate in the pyramids and the papyrus and coffin text that mentioned exactly what we ate and had paintings of it. We were doing correct food combining, not putting starch with meat, which is illogical and hampers your digestion, causes constipation and gas, which people call farting or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't combining food incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
We were on point now at one time.
Right.
But then we had this incursion with another people's diet, which was the starch and fat-centered diet, which we were put on during colonialism and slavery. And that's when everything started turning around. That's when we got into prolapsed uterus. That's when we got into fibroid tumors. That's when we got into infertility, with that starch-centered diet.
Right. And that also leads me to this part, too, when we think about slavery and we think about how we were served or how what we could gather were the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
All of that wasn't bad, but a great part of it was, particularly when you think about certain meats. Can you explain a little bit about that? Like when you think about things like chitterlings and other body parts of animals that we ate because we couldn't get into the big house to eat other foods.
Uh-huh. Well, you have to understand that people were just doing the best they could to survive. Now, I'm not faulting our ancestors. They were surviving at that time. But they knew how to supplement their diet with fibrous food. They were using slippery elm bark, maple leaves. They were using raw herbs and barks of trees to get the fiber into this diet, which we aren't doing today. But they knew how to, some kind of way, make this diet more palatable.
Sure.
So they were eating the insides of the animals because in that system, the Greek system, eating, they eat muscle, you gain muscle. So they won't eat the muscle of the animal, and they were leaving the innards, the guts, and the place where they store the bowel movement, the rectum of the pig, which people call chitlins or something, for us to eat, the feet, the ears, the eyes, all that, the tail, and all that. But that's based on a religious system of how to eat meat and how to prepare it coming out of the Greeks and Romans.
Sure.
Yeah.
When I think in terms of the way we eat today and when I think in terms of the way we used to eat, there's kind of like a common core there, the core being that to some extent we haven't quite figured out which direction to go and how we best want to get there. And when I think about that, I think about things that we need to change in our diet anyway, such as fiber and more water and less processed things. So what are some of the major steps that we could do, especially when we start to think about our youth and making sure that they understand that?
Well, the thing is we have to see the diet for what it is. And diet is supposed to translate your culture. What you eat does reflect your culture. When Chinese come here or Asians come here, they open up a market and send for their food because they associate food with their culture. And we don't associate food with our culture, and that is the problem, one of the major problems with our dietary habits. The plate itself, which is round, was created in our culture and is symbolic of the sun god, Ra. And the round spoon symbolizes the moon god. And the sun and the moon got together and had four children. That's why he had four prongs on the fork. The whole situation is a ritual and ceremony reflects and transmits our culture, but we don't see culture when we see our food. But if a Chinese person comes to America, they want to see China on the plate before they eat.
Mm-hmm.
Until we make the cultural connection, I don't think we're going to be healthy.
Exactly. There are a couple of terms, too, that I think are important for people to understand. And one is allopathic, and then the other is naturopathic. And I do know that the allopathic one is the one that treats them, and the other one is the one that help me out with that helps to causes the symptoms that need to be treated. Can you explain a little bit so we understand that better?
Allopathic medicine is what people normally associate with MD medicine. It's based on giving the system poison. They believe you poison the system will get healthy. And it's mostly a religious and angelical kind of belief system itself. It's the same system you use when you drink alcohol, which causes your system to be damaged. It damages your nerves, your digestive system. And so when people get sick from drinking alcohol, they say they feel good. So it's a contradiction in logic, which we're playing in the body in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So allopathic medicine is based on if you poison the system, your body will have a reaction to get rid of the poison, and that reaction gets rid of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas naturopathic medicine gives the body the nutrients it needs to make its own decision. And it's coming from two separate ways of seeing the body. In the allopathic system, we believe that bacteria and viruses are attacking you. So we believe in a combat kind of military way of looking at the body and bacteria. It's always a fight against the bacteria to kill them so you can be healthy. Whereas in naturopathic medicine, we believe that the body is never trying to hurt itself. The body is not stupid. If it kills you, it kills itself. So we see the body fighting back. Like if you get a cut, you get an inflammation, which speeds up the circulation and speeds up the nutrients to the body. So inflammation is the body fighting to be well. Arthritis is the inflammation of the joints. It's the body fighting to be well. Cancer is the body fighting to be well. The body is always attempting to maintain its most important product, which is life, whereas the allopathic system believes everything is the body trying to kill itself with arthritis, with cancer, with a cold. But a cold is the body using mucus to transport waste out. A cold is the body fighting to be well, whereas in allopathic medicine, we believe a cold is trying to destroy the body.
Okay, well, understanding these two different approaches to medicine, heredity, where does that play in where we are in our health?
Heredity is mostly a religious system. You're in more philosophy than you are in medicine. You can blame everything on your grandmother. She's dead, can't defend herself. So you say heredity did it. It's my great-grandmother's fault, my great-grandfather's fault. That's good. You're blaming everything on someone dead who can't defend themselves. The only thing that's hereditary is just death. Other than that, you're just playing around just blaming something because you don't understand it.
So when you say that, you mean even diseases such as arthritis that may run in a family or seem to run in a family, or diabetes, and this is what we're told all the time, that these things are hereditary. You go to the doctor, for an example, women with breast cancer, the physician may say, well, you'll have to have a mammogram every year because your mother had breast cancer, your grandmother had breast cancer, so it's highly likely that you could become a candidate for that. So heredity in that respect, is there any real concern for us with that, any credence to that?
You're talking mostly philosophy here.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy, they have a predisposition for these diseases because they're following that same disease-producing diet.
Mm-hmm.
The diet is causing the problem. It's hereditary diet that the mother and the father pass down to the children, hereditary anger, hereditary self-hatred that we pass on. But no, not in itself. Hereditary is just a cop-out when medical science just can't explain something
mm-hmm.
any other way.
Okay. You mentioned what you did about the foods that we eat, as I asked you about that a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it came to mind to me things that a lot of us eat. And I just want to know, I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit to
okay.
tell me what's wrong with these and what's right with these. So I'll just give you some four examples.
Okay.
Okay, let's say, the typical American breakfast, I guess, for a lot of people is bacon and eggs or sausage and eggs or pancakes and syrup and usually with white flour or else jam, blah, blah. What's wrong with that?
You're, again, talking about a starch and fat-centered diet. Just because you're frying bread and calling it a pancake doesn't stop it from being bread. Just because you put some cheese and some ketchup on some bread and call it pizza doesn't stop it from being bread. You're still in a starch and fat-centered diet, and that is the big problem here. What is happening is it's whole wheat and send it to a factory, and the factory eats the whole wheat. It grinds it up, takes out the fiber, the vitamins and the minerals and the moisture, and the end product of it processing or metabolizing the whole wheat is bleached white flour. So what we're looking at is a waste byproduct of a factory that we're eating, and we call it bleached white flour, white rice. The factory is already eating the food.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nutrients in it. There's no fiber in it.
So it's been stripped of everything that your body needed before you even get it.
Right. And the main thing is we have isolated and concentrated the starch of the wheat. And anytime you isolate and concentrate a substance, it is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you call certain chemicals like heroin and cocaine, once you process it out of the plant, you isolate and concentrate a chemical out of the plant, that makes it a drug.
Sure.
So we're eating drugs and calling them foods.
Okay, I'll give you some more examples of breakfast and tell me how this sounds, if this is any improvement at all. If you had a scrambled egg in a pan.
Chicken fetus.
That's right. Let me tell you what it is, though. So if you had your scrambled egg, dead chicken fetus in a pan, and you had Pam sprayed in there, you had a half grapefruit with no sugar, you had a slice of multigrain toast, and then to drink you may have water distilled or otherwise bottled, and green tea. What's right and what's wrong with that for breakfast?
Well, it's a good breakfast for someone selling laxatives with toilet paper, because other than that, it's just garbage. The problem is the body only deals with one signal at a time. You only see out of one eye at a time. The signal gets switched back and forth very fast. You only hear out of one ear at a time. The signals get switched back and forth very fast. So you get the illusion that you're hearing out of both ears or seeing out of both eyes, but that's physiologically impossible. So when you're eating oil, even if the oil is wrapped around a French fry or a pancake, the body says, I'm either going to eat the oil, and it says, oh, this is oil. So it tries to process this oil, and meanwhile, the starch ferments and rots and putrefies and becomes toxic, irritant gas and chemicals in the system. So frying is totally wrong.
Okay, so it's doing you no good.
Right.
So what if you had a boiled egg? You're still eating the fetus, so then that's no good for you either.
Wow.
What do you do for protein then? I mean, fish, some seafood, that type of thing. Where would a person go for protein if they wanted to have a good breakfast? And you said that you knew that the egg is among the least.
You don't want to eat protein. Let's be clear on that. You want to eat amino acids and let your body build the protein, because these little things called amino acids are little bricks that the body makes into a wall that we call protein.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to eat amino acids. You want to get the amino acids from the same place that the cattle got it and the same place that the fish got it. They got it from eating grains. The cow eats grains and makes protein.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your amino acids from the soybeans or from other sources other than the cow.
Okay, well, give me an example of a good, healthy breakfast that could be within anyone's reach if they're willing to make changes.
Okay, we're talking about someone coming from what we call a junk food diet. Perhaps you're talking about someone trying to make a transition to a natural diet.
Let's try that.
A good healthy diet would be a glass of water in the morning, because that's all you really need.
Okay, well, that's what I have in the morning.
So we're talking about someone trying to make a transition from eating the fried foods and drinking and eat at the same time, which no animal does, because it dilutes the digestive enzymes to help your body break down the food and get the nutrients from the food. So you shouldn't dilute the strength of these enzymes to get the energy out of your food. So you don't drink and eat at the same time. You don't combine starch with protein. That doesn't work, because the body can either need be in one state to digest the protein or another state to digest the starch, and it can't make the decision, so it makes the decision on one over the other. We call it acid and alkaline states in science.
Okay.
So you're confusing the whole body with this whole diet that you just mentioned. But we have to remember that this food is made to be addicting, so there are chemicals in the food that cause a person to crave the food. So we have addicting chemicals in the food, which we call behavior modifiers, which was released on the Nuremberg trial.
So the unconfused dieter would eat what for a healthy breakfast?
The unconfused dieter would have to realize they're addicted to the food.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do anything to the person until they admit that they're addicted.
So let's say they realize that.
Okay, then they need to take something called Crave Less or Crave-X to get rid of their craving for sugar and salt.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I cannot help them. They need Crave-X or Crave Less, and take that according to the directions on the label. Those are supplements to get rid of the craving for sugar and salt. That's they're going to need.
Okay, so they've done that.
Now they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're used to this milk and cornflakes, which is illogical because milk doesn't combine with anything in nature. A pig drinks the milk from his mother's titty and doesn't eat cornflakes. You know, drink the milk, suck on the titty, eat some cornflakes. The pig doesn't do that. Even a pig or rat doesn't do that. Because milk does not combine with anything in nature. That's clear. So they used to put this cornflakes with the milk. So what we're going to do now is get a whole grain corn, which this guy named Kellogg's came out with, a Battle Creek. Or we're getting a whole grain wheat. This Dr. Graham came out and called it Graham crackers. This natural food thing is nothing new now. In history, it was a Dr. Kellogg's and Dr. Graham introduced these whole grains long ago. So we're going to use a whole grain corn. We're going to call that cornflakes, named after Dr. Kellogg.
Okay.
And we're going to mix that with a vegetable milk known as almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, oat milk, spelt milk, and we're going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to use instead of the – then we're all right. Now, if they want sausage, we're going to have the texturized soy sausage, which tastes like
those
sausage.
Those are good. Yeah, eat them.
So we're going to have the soy sausage and our corn flakes with the vegetable milk. Now we're all right. We're in a nice transition diet. We can stay there forever.
Okay.
No problem.
And that's a start to your day.
That's a start.
Okay.
But we're not going to do the citrus. Citrus is supposed to be eating with citrus and citrus. Along with talking about the grapefruit, remember?
Sure.
We're not going to do that because that doesn't combine. You eat citrus with citrus. That means grapefruit goes with lemon, lime, and oranges.
So they all stay in the same family. All the citrus are going
right.
to stay in there
they
together.
Don't combine with anything.
Okay. All right. So then you might want to go through the day a little bit. Then it's time for a snack. How about raisins and almonds? Dried raisins, of course. That's a raisin. And
yeah.
then natural almonds.
We got a problem here. Because when God made this grape, it had water in it. Now, you took the water out, and you called it a raisin.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat the raisin, the body has to put the water back in the raisin, rehydrate, as we call it, put the water back in the raisin. Mm-hmm. So the body, you eat the raisin, the body is going to turn it back into a grape before it can metabolize it.
Mm-hmm.
The body is going to make it into a grape before it eats it. So it has to pull this water from somewhere, so it takes the water from your veins, your arteries, and your nervous system. That's because a raisin is a concentrated sweetener, like white sugar is a concentrated sweetener, maple syrup, honey, and all of these concentrated sweeteners cause the body to lose moisture in the nervous system, the veins and arteries, the bones, reproductive system, prostate. You understand what I'm saying? Uterus, eyes. That's where all of this fluid is coming from.
So therefore, you're saying that dried fruits, are dried fruits non-favorable to the diet if you choose to be healthy?
Well, we're talking about a transition diet, right? We're trying to say this person is they're going halfway there, but not all the way there.
Right.
So we're saying they have to drink more water.
Uh-huh.
If they're going to eat dried fruit, they have to drink more water.
If they drink a lot of water, they can have their raisins.
You're asking me to teach them the correct way to do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say the correct way to do something wrong, they would have to drink more water.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Whether I think it's correct or not is another issue.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So then what would be considered a snack that would be even more healthy? And as you said, we're trying to teach this person the correct way
to do something wrong. Oh, yes. And we know they're a transition person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're saying that ideally, in your mother's womb, you were fed every 4 hours because
mm-hmm.
it takes that long for your stomach to empty. That's when the amniotic fluid is changed. It puts you on the right eating schedule for life. But we came out here and we get conditioned by another culture to eat
mm-hmm.
according to these other rules, which are culturally motivated. So we're saying that ideally, if you eat breakfast at 8 o'clock, you should wait 4 hours for your stomach to empty and then eat lunch. If you eat before then, it keeps extra pressure on your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up going to bed with all meals still on your stomach, causing what we call constipation, which is white plaque on your teeth and tongue, which is a sign that your body's all backed up with constipation, with manure. So ideally, they should not eat a snack. But if they're going to eat a snack, we
mm-hmm.
want to say the correct way to do this wrong thing
mm-hmm.
is to eat a whole grain snack. A whole grain snack of some sort. So maybe some, like you mentioned, some almonds and raisins, papaya, mango, different types of dried fruit with some nuts and seeds.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then moving right along, dinner, and then I'm going to move to another area. But I think it's helpful for people to understand exactly. It's more tangible, I think, when you can envision what you might need to put in your body, which explains exactly what you've been saying. For dinner. What if you had broiled salmon with dill and lemon juice, steamed spinach, and then maybe some brown rice? Can we do that?
Ideally, you want to do the vegetables with the meat.
Okay.
Or you do the vegetables with the starch, but you don't want to do the starch and the meat together. That's not digestion, that's constipation. That's causing waste to accumulate in your system, and eventually you're going to pay for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you're going to pay for it. It's no free ride in nature. Whatever you do wrong, you pay for it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be aware of it immediately, but you pay for it immediately.
Right.
So what happens when you eat this meal that you mentioned, the brown rice and the greens and the salmon and all of that?
Well, it's not fried chicken now.
Yeah, yeah,
it's broiled salmon.
Yeah, yeah. It's too stupid enough not to get bored. So that tells you how smart you're going to be by eating it. So what we're saying here is that this stresses the system. The body says, this is stressing me to deal with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And stress can be emotional. It can be social. It can be spiritual. It can be your relationship. It can be your job. And whenever you're under stress, it decreases the blood and nutrients to your reproductive system, to your digestive system, and to your immune system. So we got a problem here, because if you keep stressing your system, it's going to decrease the blood to your reproductive system. Eventually, your prostate is going to deteriorate, or your uterus is going to deteriorate, because anytime you stress the system, it reduces the blood to the reproductive system and the digestive system, which means you can have gastric reflux reaction, you can have diabetes, you can have liver problems, all that's organs that work with the digestive system.
Sure.
So stress causes that, no matter where the stress is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. So
okay.
You're stressing yourself with the diet, and then you're stressing yourself from other things, social, your relationship, mm-hmm. some kind of disease you may be having. It puts your body into this mode, and the body goes into a defense mode and shuts down the blood to the reproductive, digestive, and immune system. You're going to have some problems eventually.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You think about the days that most of us grew up, and I think, you know, a lot of us, there are more baby boomers living in this generation than ever before, so I'll put myself in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up on grandma's pound cake and homemade rolls and roast beef and maybe a little fried chicken and that type of thing. How realistic is it, given the way that we have lived and the way that a lot of us live today, for us to expect
mm-hmm.
that we can make these kinds of changes? And in what regard do we make these changes? What is the moment right now that we can make these kinds of changes? So, of course, I'm speaking to people who want to change. Some people don't want to change, and that's the way they want to live their life. But there are those of us who, like I say, grew up on comfort foods and what we called comfort foods and southern food and soul food. And all that. So how realistic is it, given all of that, in addition to which, and I know I'm running on a little bit here, but I'm passionate about this part too, in addition to which, the way foods are marketed to us. I mean, it's what we see all the time, and I don't agree with it with an overwhelming amount of it, but I'm not trying to spout my opinion. I'm just saying in a universal way. Everything is packaged with sugar. It's glamorized with sugar for our children and sodas and this, that, and this. So when you look at that, Dr. Africa, there's such a tie that stems from where we know we ought to be to how we get there. So how realistic is that?
Well, to be truthful with you here, the issue is that how do we teach someone who's been taught the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
So the precondition has been set up by the lady's pregnancy, actually. If the lady's stressed in the first trimester, it's going to be some kind of nerve problems. If it's the lady's stressed in the second trimester, it's going to be some kind of a inability to engage into that masculinity or femininity, because that's when your brain is masculized or feminized in the second trimester. Lady stress in the first trimester is going to be some kind of nerve problems. The third trimester is going to be some respiratory and skin kind of problems. So it's very important that the ladies is not stressed during the trimesters. We're not looking at that. And we're not looking at how the child learns. The child learns by what it sees, tastes, and hears in the mother's womb. So if you deprive the child from certain stimulation, that deprives them from certain thoughts, spiritual, mentally, forever. And this was proven by putting research where they took a baby chicken and put cloth over the chicken's foot.
Mm-hmm.
So the chicken couldn't see its foot for about 3 or 4 months, and then they took the cloth off, and the chicken would not eat worms. Certain thoughts are stimulated by what the baby sees in its mother's womb. It sees auras. So what we're talking about is the whole process of dysfunctionalizing a person starts before they're born. Then after the child is born, they introduced to what's called rote learning, which was introduced in 1922, which proven to be a failure in 1928 because it causes a person to cling to immature thoughts forever.
So let me ask you this. Are you saying, therefore, that if during pregnancy,
yes.
Let's say this woman does all the things right, she eats the whole grains, et cetera, she knows
her
how to eat well. Okay, and I like that,
yeah.
And I exactly. And so they're doing those things correctly. Are we saying, therefore, that that child is more than likely to be born with a propensity towards eating the right way because she wasn't drinking
yeah.
Evaporated milk with sugar in it and give and blah, 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 because even baby formula has sugar in it.
Which stresses the system. So forget that this chemical you call it sugar is classified as a drug. And a drug stresses the system, which decreases the blood to the reproductive system, digestive system, immune system. You see, so the lady is doing all these right things.
And as you said, the father is
well. The father is doing all, because mm-hmm. the father's emotionally has an emotional umbilical cord connected to the child.
Women carry enough baggage. Right. We don't need all that alone, too.
So I'm saying this sort of process will set the child up because we know that breastfeeding is a part of the culture. And the black women breastfeed the least, and Japanese breastfeed the most in America.
I strongly believe in breastfeeding.
So without the breastfeeding, it denies the child the language to access his own intelligence. So we're looking at a whole dysfunctionality set up that predisposes a person to eat junk food. And we use infantilism in advertising. Because when you're infant, you see these little characters, fairy tale characters,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you feel safe because your mother's taking care of you. So they always use infantilism in advertising, like a Burger King, a clown, or the Pillsbury Doughboy, because it lures you back into that state where you feel comfortable. So all of this is part of addicting the person to the product. They don't want you to be anything but emotionally centered, not intellectually centered.
Well, if I can just flash back a minute to what you did so well earlier. Once upon a time, black women, that's really all we did do was breastfeed our children.
Well, ourselves or other people's
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
History.
Oh, yeah, other people's without a doubt.
Yeah,
so, yeah we did
that's
do that.
Part about our language. It's a certain language that your child has to get, and this is part of their language. Growth and development is an extension of the gestational. I don't want to get into too much.
Sure, I understand.
But that's part of how you develop language. And without mm-hmm. that, see, the child hears sounds, and that mother hears sound is reflecting the tension in her breast, and also the way that the viscosity, the thickness and thinness of the breast milk would change if the woman is stressed or cussed at or called names, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the child learns how to interpret sound, not by the language, but by the sound itself. And you can't deny the child this way of learning. So with all of that, a person... I'm saying if all the right conditions are set, the mother and the father are eating properly, and the father has to nurture the mother, or else his emotional growth and development is hampered forever. These are things required by nature, you see. So that has to occur, and they're eating properly, and they're doing things, you know, he's nurturing her, writing her poems, walking with her, singing to her, massaging her. All these things are supposed to be done to set up them on the right frequency to nurture the child. That's
mm-hmm.
part of his growth and development emotionally to get ready for the child.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do this. And that's not done, then the child is functional forever. This is the way nature plays these rules.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is using this infantilism. Mm-hmm. They know that sugar is associated with love and affection. They know that smoothie-tasting food is associated with nurturing or the inability to receive the proper nurturing. The junk food industry has junked the emotions, so they know how to pimp off the junk that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually make you dysfunctional, and then they profit off your dysfunctionality.
Right.
That's why a lot of people like creamy ice cream at night, because they lack nurturing. They want to chew on something because they're trying to release the tension and stress. They want to crunch something because they're frustrated. They want salt because they anger. They want sugar because they lack love and affection. So the junk food industry knows how to set up these cereals and candy bars.
But sometimes,
stuff,
can't you just want a piece of grandma's pound cake? I mean, I'm just teasing you, Dr.
Well, see, there's no such thing as a pound cake. If you can show me a pound cake growing on a tree or Coca-Cola growing on a tree, these things,
I don't drink
these are free foods, you see. No one can relate to them. So
right.
you can't see anything that looks like a biscuit that grows on a tree.
Okay.
These are freak foods, and they were created by the Greeks and Romans, by the way. All
mm-hmm.
of them sexually motivated.
Well, speaking of sexually motivated, that takes me to another part, too, and I want to jump on melanin a little bit, too. But before I get to that, erectile dysfunction
mm-hmm.
in food.
Mm-hmm.
On the airwaves today, that's all you see. And I'm always... reading and always interested in, because I have sons and I have a husband, and I'm always interested in how men are affected with this erectile dysfunction and diet. And it, there once upon a time, you never heard about men having prostate cancer. And, of course, it always seems that if anybody gets anything worse, we always do. So we have higher incidences of prostate cancer and the like, mm-hmm. breast cancer, even though you wouldn't know it the way it's always
men.
Advertised.
Much
exactly, exactly. And so, excuse me, there has to be a connection between prostate cancer and diet.
That's
there
true.
Has to be. And I mean, and then they act as though it can easily be remedied. You just take, and I'm not going to get into all the brand names here, but you take Mr. Fix-It this and a dose of Mr. Fix-It that, and you're okay, and you can have a nice day.
Yeah, these things that we're talking about are basically what we call nitric oxide. That's what they use to cause this erection. Nitric oxide used to be called laughing gas, causes mycosis. Mm-hmm. The guy thinks he's all of that. He ain't all that. He's just flat out crazy with the erection, you know what I mean? But what we're talking about is the erectile, the inability to have erection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is caused because then the system is under stress, and stress reduces the nutrients to the prostate and the uterus. And anything that pulls moisture out of the tissue pulls moisture out of the prostate. That would be white sugar, alcohol, vinegar, anything that changes the sugar quickly, which would be bleached white flour, white rice, and white potatoes. All of these pull moisture out of the prostate along with stress, which shut down the nutrients to the prostate, along with the fact that the prostate is a muscle. And when you tense your muscle from being in tension, tense all the time, it increases the blood to the muscle. So being tense, being under stress, taking things that dehydrate the body, such as bleached white flour, white rice, white grits, white potatoes, alcohol, especially acetic acid, vinegar, all of that's going to pour moisture out of the prostate.
So to relieve that stress on men, since we're talking erectile dysfunction in the prostate, men should simply be aware of doing the reverse of that, the white flour, the
yes,
the vinegar.
Yes, they have to come off all of that stuff, and they have to understand that sex transmits and translates culture. Sex is culturally based. Chinese have a different sexual system from the Japanese. We think of something called universal sex, but it's not that way. Each culture has different sexual rituals and ceremonies because sex transmits and translates culture. We're back to culture again. And that the problem is that we have a predatory nature about us because we're in a military culture. Sex is a form of power. That's what when you go into rape and rape counseling, you learn that rape is a form of power. It's not about sex. Sex is about power and the ownership of power. The more women I have sex with, the more power I have amongst other brothers. You see? It's not the sex. We never after the woman at all. We after what the sex gives us, the reward of power.
But that depends on the woman that you ask. So now we're going to move to constipation.
Yeah. Which also is caused by too much sex.
and lack of fiber.
Right.
Yeah. Now let's explore this fiber thing because basic things like having colonoscopies done, which for most of us are true indicators of where we are sometimes with the fiber thing.
Yeah.
What do we need to do to – because knowledge has told me that after almost every meal, you should have a healthy stool after you eat. And I know people who take laxatives on a regular basis, just like, well, a lot of people don't drink water, but like how you should be drinking water.
Well, it's the food again. It's lacking fiber. They take the fiber out of the whole grain. So you have nothing to exercise the internal muscles of your small intestines and large intestines. They have to be exercised. They are muscles, and they need to be exercised. And you cannot exercise them without fibrous food. That is steamed vegetables, not boiled till it's soft and mushy. They have to still be crunchy. And you eat a salad.
So that you can recognize a cabbage.
You want to eat fresh roots and vegetables because they have fiber in it, and you want to eat whole grains. That would be spelt, kamut. These are grains that people are not aware of, but there are other grains other than wheat. We're wheat-centered, and wheat causes too much acid, and acid breaks down the system. It also causes stable madness and arthritis in cattle when you feed them too much wheat. So we got to come off all of this wheat and go into other grains. Some of the names are kamut, spelt, amarantha, kiwi, they're in the stores. I've been to the stores here. They're in the stores. The regular grocery stores have them. So we got to start eating these regular whole grains other than the wheat. And that
flax
would help.
Is a good one, too.
Flax. Some things we use just to help the food flow out, like okra.
Mm-hmm.
And flax seeds turn into okra in the body and help it flush out the food, as well as slippery elm powder. It's a bark of a tree, turns into slimy like okra and helps wash the colon out. So you want to eat flaxseed meal, not the seeds. You want to eat slippery elm powder. You want to eat okra. And most of all, if you use the diet as a medicine, you have cured the whole problem because food is the medicine, and medicine is the food. Anything that can be cured with food should not be treated with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't kidding about the constipation because that caused a lot of waste to be close to the prostate and uterus, so the waste is going to migrate to the prostate and uterus. By not having healthy bowel movements, you're destroying your prostate and uterus.
So now we explored men and the prostate. So how are our women affected by fibrosis tumors?
Oh, well, see, we have a problem here. We have the same problem once again. We have the dioxin bleach that's in the tampons and the sanitary napkins, which cause inflammation of the vagina, inflammation of the uterus, endometriosis, chlamydia, yeast infection. All this is caused by the chemicals in the tampon and sanitary napkins, which you should get the kind from the health food store that are not bleached.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the uterus, which is high in sugar. So if you increase in the sugar in the uterus, then the sugar starts fermenting. What increases the sugar in the uterus is bleached white flour, white rice, white grits, and white potatoes. So we're talking about a high sugar-driven diet, which causes the fermentation in the uterus, which ends up being a yeast infection or the tight nylon panties, which stops the air from getting to the vagina. Yes, so we're talking about a diet that can drive a yeast infection aside from antibiotics doing it. And we're also talking about the uterus is a muscle, and when you're stressed, the uterus gets tense too, and shut down the nutrients to itself and cause it to increase weight. Then you're talking about the chemicals that come out of the prophylactics. The talc causes cysts and tumors. The gel in the condom causes cancer. All of that leaks out during sexual intercourse and migrates into the uterus and vagina. So you're getting diseases from the prophylactics. You're getting diseases from the tampon, the sanitary napkin, all of which you can buy from the health food store that doesn't have all the chemicals in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're talking about the whole fact that we don't have a healthy relationship with our reproductive system. We don't see sex as a spiritual activity. In our culture, sex is a spiritual activity. You should say a prayer before you have sex. That's what I'm saying. You should ask God to guard our relationship. May nothing come of it but blessings. If a child is the fruit of it, may the child be blessed. We should say a prayer before we have sex.
So let me move back, if I may, rather quickly, though, with the tumors for women, though. The fibroids.
Well,
we
usually shrink them in my business.
Mm-hmm.
We use herbs to shrink the fibroid tumors. Three most popular ones are shepherd's purse, like a shepherd in the field and a purse that ladies carry.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherd's purse, and it's a herb that's green called witch hazel, not the stuff in the bottle. Witch hazel, shepherd's purse, and another herb called crane's bill, or some people call it wild alum root, A-L-U-M.
Mm-hmm.
Alum root, witch hazel, shepherd's purse. You use all three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And that will shrink a cyst and tumor. You
mm-hmm.
drink it, and that will shrink it. But you have to do these other things correct now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get off the junk food and get away from the synthetic estrogen and steroids, because the synthetic estrogen and steroids in burgers, chicken, and fish cause prostate disease and fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
There's the synthetic estrogen and steroids in the meat and the dairy and the eggs that causes a person to have a sex addiction. They're addicted to sex, or they want to hear sex in the music, they want to see sex dancing, sex clothes, they become sexually addicted. So we have to come away from the synthetic estrogen and the beef, the chicken, the dairy, the eggs. It causes disease, it causes prostate disease and uterine fibroid tumors. So we got to come off all of that.
Okay. Melanin. Let's talk a little bit about melanin, because you talk about melanin quite a bit in your book, and the fact that it is, of course, what gives us our color. But can you explain the correlation between melanin and our health?
Well,
melanin,
of course, gives us our this pigment, which we call black people, which is actually brown. And this melanin causes us to have more vitamins and minerals in our body than any other race. And it's in our nervous system that causes us to transmit messages quicker and store more information. And it's in our bones, of course, that have more minerals in our bones than any other race. And it's in our digestive system that causes us to have a more efficiently run digestive system, and it's in our eyes, causing our eyes to be brown, so we see the full color of colors. It causes you to absorb more color, and it's in our ears, and then we absorb more sound, so our music will sound different because we hear more sound in the sound. Then the melanin is in your taste buds, which causes you to food differently. You taste the full flavor of food. The more melanin you have, the more human you are. It's the biochemical marker for life. That's how we adjust the age of the brain, the half-life of drugs. If the drug doesn't destroy melanin, you can't evaluate its efficiency. So melanin is the biochemical marker for life, and it's studied more by the military than any other industry in this country. But we are not aware of the importance of this melanin. It's the center of every cell in your body. It's a little purple thing, and that's the new sun, the nucleus. It's the center of the cell, tells the cell when to breathe, when to eat, when to have a bowel movement. It's the melanin.
Does your body regenerate melanin, or you're born with the amount of melanin that will take you through your life?
you're born with your stock of it, and you're going to make melanin. You have a melanin centers in your body. You make melanin all over, particularly in the pineal gland. It's a gland in the center of your brain, in the third ventricle, and you're going to make this melanin. It's a free radical scavenger. It protects you from infections. It fights radiation. It takes the sun's ultraviolet rays and turns it into vitamin D. It causes your black skin to eat the sun. And your cholesterol transports it to the liver, and then the liver changes its vitamin D3 into what we call vitamin D.
Well, then the sun is the greatest source, most natural, and the greatest source of vitamin D anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you don't get enough sun, then you're going to be a little more sad, and you're going to have more skin cancer. That's why black women have more skin cancer than white women.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have adequate sunlight. You have to have at least 2 hours of sun every day. The sun is what we're sunlight dependent.
Right.
And we're not getting enough, so of course, to be more irritable and all that sort of thing, which we call seasonal affective disorder, because we're not getting enough sunlight.
Sure. If you had to name three things that we could do that we should guard against, three things that you consider primary for our best health, what would those three things be?
Well, we'd have no health without children. We should eat properly. Eat, if it's not for ourselves, but for the children, so they can find a better way in life. We should see that this is the only life we have is our children. So I would say that you should eat properly just so they can see another way. Just because you are hampered, don't hamper them. Make that hereditary dietary ignorance. Don't pass that on to them. Give them a chance. Eat properly. That's the one thing I would say. The other thing is to understand the diet is culturally based. You have to have a culture to define what you should eat and what you should not eat. That's what does it for you. And the key to this whole thing is understanding your history, because your history helps you understand your future. So we have to get a little more culturally focused here and understand the only product we have of any value is our children. And understand that we are addicted. The industry makes us addicting. Addicting arm in the food industry is the snack food industry. So we have to take something for our addiction. And I mentioned two supplements, Cravex and Craveless, and there's another one by Now called R-Slim. All of those will get rid of the craving. I would do that first and foremost. And then I would start thinking about these crossover foods that we mentioned, the soy burger, the soy sausage, the rice cheese. Instead of cow's cheese, use rice cheese, soy cheese. Instead of white bread, use whole grain bread. I would think about all those crossover foods.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my main thing,
Glenn. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the children, too, because they are of utmost and primary concern, and I'm concerned, as are a lot of people, about not only us and where we need to go, but when you think about children, the way they are in school today, their lunch programs, the peer pressure that they have to run to fast food places when they're in college, the lack of formal eating skills, and when I say that, I mean eating the whole grains, knowing what to choose from. We've got a lot to plow ahead to break that mindset to help them to understand that, wouldn't you say?
Yes, understand that these vendors are in the schools now. Burger King is in the schools. Krispy Kreme is in the school and hospitals. So they're very pervasive and very powerful industry, and they lodge a military attack on people. The people sitting on the board of directors of Ralston Green and all these corporations are military people, and they see us as something to prey on. So we have to have an understanding of how this media is driven, and they're not going to give up their market share that easy. You have to fight for your life. You have to fight for your health. And know there's a fight till death. It has to be that kind of feeling in you. This is my life. I'm taking it back. Burger King does not own me, does not tell me how to eat. I'm not going to let a clown tell me how to eat. That is stupid. I'm a grown person here. I'm going to use my intelligence. I'm going to use some of the scientific information I have here. I'm going to understand that this is God's temple. I have no right to put this garbage in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's factory-made garbage that's been bleached white, and we call it white sugar and white rice. It's just factory-made garbage, and that's why we call it junk food, which is technically called pica, P-I-C-A. Pica is non-food. So we're eating pica. That's the problem. We're eating non-food disguised as food. The tomatoes aren't tomatoes. Any old person can tell you those tomatoes in the store taste, they don't taste. They'll tell
some
you
relatively
that.
Young people can tell you that, too.
Yep. These are freak foods, who are driven by splicing peas and moss together and a whole lot of steroids shoved in these tomatoes with what we call blockers and a manganese blocker to stop it from having seeds. Then you eat the manganese blocker and it stops you from having the nurturing ability because manganese is associated with nurturing. Mm-hmm. So you're eating these blockers, seed blockers, and they're freak foods. It's better to go to nature. If you're a natural product yourself and you want to preserve your naturalness, you have to eat nature's food.
That's a good point. And that leads me to another area, to organic foods. Or so-called organic food.
Yeah, so-called.
I thought I'd say that before you did.
They're coming close. Yeah.
Yeah, how do they factor in our diet? Is that a better alternative for us in some cases?
Ideally, we should eat organic food. That's food that hasn't been treated with synthetic chemicals, or synthetic fertilizers, which is a poison. That's when they put poison in the soil, and the seed grows fast to get the hell away from the poison.
Mm-hmm.
So when the soil is not poisoned by synthetic fertilizers, and the seed hasn't been spliced with another animal or human cell, and it hasn't been treated with estrogen and steroids, mm-hmm. we call that organic food. And we should be eating those type of foods. That's what we were raised on Africa. That's what the Chinese are raised on. The American Indians are raised on. This food that we eat now is totally new in history.
No, yeah, that's what a lot of us were raised on. I mean, I know growing up in the South, my parents had a garden.
Of course.
That's what organic is.
Yeah.
I mean, they grew their own cantaloupe, their own tomatoes, collard greens, and that's why I don't like cantaloupe today, because that's all I ever ate.
Come on, Miss Deb. Come on, Miss Deb.
white stevia.
Mm-hmm.
We want green stevia, where they just grind up the leaf and that's a naturally sweet leaf. I would go there as a crossover type of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, sugar is not necessary in the diet. If you want something sweet, eat an apple, orange. Small onions taste sweet. A small onion is sweet. A small potato is sweet already. There's sweetness in broccoli. If you cultivate a natural taste, you will taste the sweetness in these foods. But what we're looking at is people that are addicted to sugar, and that's totally different. We do not have hunger specific. We have program hunger, and that's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dr. Africa, I think we've covered just about everything that I mean, there's so much that's important, but the areas that I think that we could really touch base with and help our viewers to understand exactly what we mean by healthier eating, unless there's a message that you really want to leave with us here at the end.
Well, I think if we start using those herbs, as people call them, we need to start taking red clover, garlic, burdock root, dandelion root, to cleanse our system so we can be healthy.
Okay. Yes. I appreciate this.
Thank you.
So much more to learn.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
People use the word frequency.
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean, frequency, to you?
Well, the name of my label is Control Freak, F-R-E-A-Q. Frequency is simply vibration. It means that everything is always moving, but at different rates.
Mm-hmm.
And when two things move at the same rate and have the same weight, it's called sympathetic vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And that frequency is the most powerful one.
Mm.
That means that you relate to my music or my song or my smell or my words or my voice. That's when the frequency is the strongest, when we vibrate together.
Mm-hmm. So we have sympathetic
vibrations
because Erica walked in here and I just can't ignore her smell. And she told me it was a combination of smells.
Mm.
And that it represented your vagina.
It's
coming from my
vagina.
It's coming from your vagina.
I need to be taught that.
Yeah. So that's how it happens.
That's the smell that you smell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's coming from your vagina. Don't apologize for that.
Listen, Erica, you were the one who told women about pineapple juice, right?
I think it was cranberry.
Cranberry, thank
yeah.
you.
Good, no, fresh cranberry juice.
Yeah.
And I told them that it promotes a sweet vagina.
Mm.
Well, the taste.
The aroma is definitely alluring.
Yeah.
And me being alpha male is I can't take my mind off your vagina, Erica.
Join the club.
Hello.
Come on in.
All right. We got Nadine on the line.
But you gotta know the password.
Right. Gotta know the password.
Pay your dues.
Okay. Well.
Yes.
Born in the competition with a feeling that something's missing. Bred in a corn addiction with a synthetic composition. On the brink of a civil war or the forming of one religion. I wonder what came first, dinosaurs or Darwinism? Pledging allegiance to a flag since elementary. Writing curses and curses and casting spells sung by the spelling bee. And they say, congratulations, you graduated. From slavery to paid slavery, you actually made it. Here, take this gown and cap and wave it. Like a celebration of going to school just to get a job to paper it. Like a nation that traded its minerals in exchange for paper payment. Here, these are your gods, you have to praise them. I wonder who we worship if we weren't captured and traded. Consider this my affidavit. Yeah, it's the ruling class, here to rule your ass. Prescription drug thug, cocaine, mule your ass. Agricultural skills sure would suit your ass. But they say, living off the land is a useless path. Here, work for dead presidents. Food your ass. Any revolutionaries, they remove your ass. Fast, click, clack, quick blast, in a flash. Whip.
whiplash from the kickback or the impact. Put the shit back, as long as my head is intact. I'll be as political as I want, cause I get taxed. Nah, this ain't no fucking diss track to diss track, a useless chit-chat and syntax on who's ass is this bad and who has the sick tag. Who's batting this average? Compare his passes to his passes. It's a thousand sports channels, you can get this package or this package. Who's this savage? Hey, let's compare your emotional baggage to my emotional baggage and see who calls each other bitch bastards. Haters go out their way to fuck up my day, but I ain't even worried about your bitch ass. And it's quite the optic, hard to take your eyes off it. They make the sky toxic, prescribe the antibiotic, make a high profit, divide the margin. You could die off it, if you do, they hide the autopsy. What the fuck are you supposed to do? More gallons in your kosher food. What the fuck is even kosher food? Third generation crops won't produce. Be careful who you keep close to you. I'm from Atlanta, but shouts out to my Oakland crew. They say Bobby Ray the older you is overdue. I say, hey, sorry I got a little caught up exposing truths. I used to think, what would Hova do? Now I think, what the fuck would Macho Man and Hulk Hogan do? Now if Steve Austin was America and The Rock was Afghanistan, then Russia and China would be Triple H and Illuminati would be Vince McMahon. Now when the haters are the Undertaker, the crowd doesn't stand a chance. When the international bankers are walking through the stands, slide your ass in the van. You think you a fan, but you really just a lamb. Niggas start trends every day, but don't never get no pair of Vans. What the fuck is in advance? Niggas live on color people time. What the fuck is in advance? I don't fucking understand. I just want my fucking band. I'm a walking, talking human conundrum, like a Muslim going ham, looking for the promised land. False stories of Christopher Columbus holding Pocahontas' hand. Black history is the shortest month. I just hope you understand when the native Indians don't get shit, but Thanksgiving and some yams, like, here, here's a few casinos, huh? Sorry we took all your land, huh? Well, let's just move on, because America's great. Man, I fucking love it. Democratic or Republic. Lightning rod, change the subject. All of these religions, I'm glad I found one. All of these beliefs, and mine's the right one. Trying to process all of this info you hide from. So you wake the fuck up, I don't need your advice, son. Question my religion, condition your mind, hun. Whatever's prohibited, I'ma defy them. The smell of freedom is making my eyes run. To authority, I'm the antithesis. I'm not a pacifist or a philanthropist. And I ain't got all the answers. I just got a louder mic and better stances, bitch. Oh, I'm sorry, did I offend you? What the fuck you think goes on in schools you send your kids to? What the fuck you think they serve for lunch? What's on the menu? That's my only ratchet shit is what these kids is into. A language comprehensible. Friends do what they friends do. People act for fucking hard, but really they just gentle. Psychological children. Grown-ups with issues. Grown-ups with children who grow up with issues. Cancer tissues. Abandonment. Misuse. Subliminal marketing, screaming, here, let me fix you. I have the cure. I have the remedy. I am the savior. I am not the enemy. But give me your money. Give me your money. Give me your money. Everybody's in debt, but this is a free country. They dock your pay. What a mockery. Why you on the clock? Hickory dickory dockery. They want cable. They want coffee. They want comedy. Anything to take their mind off being property. Trying to say it properly. Working on my tax, but I am the anomaly. They know I'm the shit like an ileocolonoscopy. They know I'm the shit by just looking at my discography. They know I've been sent to awaken this idiocracy. Mass media, hypocrisy, turn into a worker bee. Harvest the honey tree. I'm just being honest, B. Mother Earth quakes underneath. Father Sky up above the sea. God the Father, the sky, the Son of God, the Son, Amun-Ra, the I. No more amen, no more folded hands, goodbye. Adios, au revoir. Amen.
Shout out to the gods, goddesses, deities, however you want to label yourself, you know, in this realm. You know, however, you know what I mean? It's I don't know, it's just a thing. Have fun with it, right? So, PCC Survivor, thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Motivational Classroom. I am your host, Haru, as you know. And the Ear Family welcomes you and thanks you for always listening and tuning in, even if you catch it now or later. You know, that not going to do much talking, guys. That's just pretty much self-explanatory. You know, when it comes to the topic of food, you guys, kind of, I think Dr. Africa, you guys can check out his work. That was Dr. Africa. I will also post the YouTube clip in the show notes for you guys so that you could go back and reference Dr. Africa. But he's definitely a great person to study under and learn when it comes to the topic of food. Now, when it comes to the topic of food, you know, a lot of the perversion aspects of it, you know, have gotten quite out of hand. So a lot of us are still unlearning. I'm one of them when it comes to the aspect of food. But even in learning when it comes to the aspect of food, what I'm noticing is out here, what we do a lot of times is, you know, once we know the food, it's kind of like, you know, we pervert these, instead of giving the education of what food is, like Dr. Alpha does, he gives you the ethical education, he gives you the science, he gives you the background, you know, as to why we have some of the habits that we have and how to go about correcting them. I think that that's great. You know, what I feel also is that what we have out here is people who know more than and know the, you know, you got mucus in my throat right now. That's from not eating healthy or not eating right. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still too. I'm guilty. I'm not one of your conscious people that, you know, is healthy eating and all of that. And now I don't eat swine now, you know, but I have done things, you know, to kind of incorporate how I do it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to feel a type of way because you feel that I should eat better or know better. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we use these tools or these wisdom and knowledge informations that we have gained, and we use it to beat down one another and measure one another and bash one another. You know what I'm saying? And that is not how it goes, especially on the topic of food. So that's first order of business. Anybody who may be listening right now, do not feel some type of way because you have not incorporated or figured out how to fully or solely convert or shift your into a healthier eating guide. Because we fucked it all up, or not even fucked up, you know, it was all, you know, divinely ordained, if you will, on how things are going. So when we learn to, these bees are surrounding me. Oh my God, like one bee is here, two bees are here. These bees literally came in my house as I'm speaking on this. It's like surrounding me as if giving me some type of confirmation. But anyway, guys, you know, that's all. I'm not going to do much talking, but to anybody who is listening, please do not ever let people in the spiritual community, people above you, people who feel like they have figured out that eating better is going to be healthier for you, do not allow them to measure you up and do not allow them to make you feel a type of way because they know how to eat better, you know, and they are eating better, but you have not accomplished that yet. It's a tool that we use out here to beat and bash, you guys, and we do it subconsciously unaware and most of the time aware. So just grow how you grow, all right? Love how you love. Do it your way. All right, guys? Let your soul glow. Join me tomorrow, Sister Soul Sunday, where I'm going to be talking about, is it love? There is something in the aspect of love and letting go. Could we love something enough that we let it go? You know, is it love? Join me tomorrow for another episode of Spiritual Soul Sunday. Eternal, yeah, he had an event this weekend, guys. Eternal had a few things going on this weekend. So, you know, Eternal will be back in Divinity. You know, so just to let you guys know his absence today. Auntie LJ is doing great, I hope. But Auntie LJ, you guys, is no longer a part of EAR. But, you know, she may breathe in the future. You know, if she may or may not. But I just want to officially let everybody know Auntie LJ will not be coming back to the EAR platform as a host. But she possibly would be popping in periodically as we build or mend or, you know, however it goes. You know what I mean? But Auntie LJ, it was great. You know, it was great. Great. Everybody who has breezed through Enhancing Awareness Radio has great foundation that they brought along to the table, you know what I'm saying, in order to get, you know, what needed to be said out. So gratitude to the energy for that. And, guys, if you want to contact me, everything is in the show notes. If you want to donate, all of that is in the show notes. You appreciate what we do. You can also donate, guys. That's going to be, again, in the show notes. And please be sure to join our Facebook group. I normally post the posts that are coming up, tips, topics, links. You know, I normally post it at the top in the announcement section. So please be sure you're in our group so you can get current updates, all right? All right, guys, I got to go. And till next time, guys, peace.
Beautiful, sexy, easy. 1, 2, 3.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good.
Good and terrible.
Thank you.
The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Yeah.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
From the
let it shine.
I like to give a big round of applause to my band. Sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, my band. Sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate.
Nigga be hurt for life, hoe be hurt for life. Nigga be hurt, she don't die for real. She just hate niggas for life. Hurt people, can't you see? Born and programmed from the project. It's the project to stop your progress. Keep you obsessed with fancy objects. To crack your third eye, it's the process. It's the hot mess out here for a melanated nigga. I say meditating
nigga.
Band. Sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, my band. Sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate, sexual chocolate.
Yeah, damn, homie, I invoke the dead homies on the other side to bring this shit back alive, alive. No one really died. You sound hurt, all you do is complain. You the face of the niggas ain't shit campaign. 7 circuits in your brain, you addicted to pain. Addicted to the chemicals that get released in your veins. Just let your soul go.
Let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Like which one of y'all gon'
shine?
All my ladies, make it clap.
Why you clap and move?
Make it clap, 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 clap,
clap, clap, clap.
If you feel it in your soul, make it clap.
Why you clap and move?
All my ladies, make it clap.
Clap, clap,
make it clap, clap, clap and move.
I want you to put your hands together and walk into the stage. Big round of applause. Big round of applause.
All right,
big round of applause.
Big round of applause for all the homies that ain't here right now. Big round of applause for all the souls on the other side. R.I.P. Mac Miller.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Nipsey
Hussle.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Good and terrible.
R.I.P. R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Brother
Bobby,
hear me, y'all.
R.I.P.